You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Brother and sister Abigail and John Mark Sow, members of the Family Sow Band, are my guests on this edition of Americana Music Profiles, as we talk about life as a family band, their origins, and their new recording project, Same Kind of Different.
So I am speaking with Abigail and John Mark, is it Sowell? Did I say it right?
That's right,
right.
Sowell.
Sowell, and the Sow Family Band. And you guys are in Knoxville?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right. Well, good. I'm two for two. Well, thank you guys for spending a few minutes talking with us on the podcast today. So tell me, you guys are a family band and younger, right? All siblings? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's right. All siblings, all six siblings.
Okay. And age range from where to where?
23 to 13.
Cool. Okay. So when did you guys start? Who came up with the idea? How did this happen?
Well, it kind of just happened, you know what I mean? Our first show was in 2010, and we were all really young back then. And we were playing with Dixieland Jazz Banjo Orchestra at the time. And that's how we started, actually, before we got into bluegrass and Americana.
Okay.
We played Dixieland jazz music, and the director couldn't make a show, and he knew that we weren't in school. We were homeschooled, and he asked us to perform at a nursing home. And it was just us, just the kids, and we went there and filled in for him. And then the word kind of got around, and people started calling us, and that's how it happened. And then we transitioned to bluegrass in about 2013, and we've been full-time on the road now for about 4 years.
So 2010, that's 10 years ago. So you guys, I'm assuming, were some of you not in the band yet?
Some of us. Yeah, some of us were pretty young. I was actually 5 at the time.
Right.
And my younger brother was 3. So it was really only the 4 oldest, Jacob, Joshua, Naomi, and Abigail.
Yeah, okay. So how did you get into Dixieland jazz? That's a kind of a two different ends of the spectrum almost.
Well, when we were very young, like younger than 22, mom and dad, our parents, they wanted us to learn music, to be our extracurricular activity, really so that we could learn music together, play together, not be so spread out, one doing sports, one doing dance, or something like that.
Right, right.
So we all started on the piano when we were about 5 years old.
Okay.
And living in Texas at the time,
okay,
we heard about a youth Dixieland Jazz Band Orchestra,
okay,
of sorts. And the teacher, he offered free lessons, free admission, basically, to this, being a part of this group.
Uh-huh.
And so we thought it was a great way to really learn new instruments, to learn how to play with other people,
yeah,
and to really do what we love to do, which was play music.
Yeah.
And so that's how we started in Dixieland Jazz. And so when we've started playing together as a band, as just the family, that's what we knew. But when we heard bluegrass music, we fell in love with that.
Yeah.
And so we slowly transitioned to full-time bluegrass.
Did you have any idea what Dixieland Jazz was when you got into that originally?
Not really.
Yeah.
The oldest 2 were 8 and 7 at the time, and it was music, so it was, you know,
yeah,
and it was, but, you know, let's try it. And mom and dad were like, you know, if you don't like it, you don't have to continue.
Sure.
In it. But
yeah,
Jacob and Joshua fell in love with it, and we were a part of the band until 2012.
Okay. So how did you discover bluegrass? How did that come about?
Well, at Silver Dollar City in 2006, we saw Rhonda Benson and The Rage at the Opera House there in Silver Dollar City. And my oldest brother, Jacob, who is now the banjo player, asked Mom and Dad on the way home if he could learn how to play the five-string banjo. And he didn't really get the chance until about 2009. Uh-huh. And Jacob was actually, wouldn't you say, he was kind of the first one to get into bluegrass. Isn't that right, Eddie?
He was the catalyst.
Yeah. And then me and Abigail wanted to pick up the fiddle. And actually, we started on the violin. We started with Suzuki violin lessons in 2012. And about 6 months in, it really wasn't our style. Classical music really wasn't our thing. So we looked into getting a bluegrass and swing fiddle teacher locally, close to where we lived. And that's how I started in bluegrass fiddle. And then everyone kind of started learning the bass, learning the guitar, learning the mandolin. And it all kind of just happened.
Yeah. That's cool. So I think I heard you right. You said you've sort of been full-time since 2013. Is that right?
No. We started bluegrass in 2013, but we really just started getting full-time about late 2016.
Okay, so just the last couple of years then. So full-time is it's a full-time job for some of you, or just full-time it's a full-time family project?
They kind of both. Basically, the main source of income for all of the four oldest, and of course, me and Justice coming up. But this is our thing. This is our full time job.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, how many dates do you guys find yourself playing on a regular basis every year?
We stick around about 100 to 120 a year.
Okay.
So we enjoy doing it. We play a lot on the weekends, but here and there in the middle of the week, whenever we get the opportunity to perform for people.
And is it mostly in the Tennessee area, or do you guys get to travel and branch out some into some of the other states?
Oh, there's definitely some branching out. We've been as far west as New Mexico and Colorado. And even got a California booking coming in the works.
Okay.
And we've been to New England, Maine, down south, definitely, since we grew up in Texas. So we definitely play in a lot of states and travel definitely a lot.
And so I think I heard right, some of you are post-high school and some of you are still doing high school studies, middle school studies. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The four oldest in the band are 19 and up, and so we have all graduated high school and do some online courses here and there, and the younger two are in high school and late
middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, so somewhere around there.
So do the older of your group want to pursue college, or is music kind of where you want to be right now for a little while?
Well, whether we pursue online courses or college or anything like that, music is definitely where we want to be. So we always try to take it with the prayer and whatever we believe the Lord wants us to go, do that. And so we'll see. But right now we're pursuing music and that career.
So long term, you are doing what you want to be doing, as far as you know at the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What's it like playing with a band that you're related to everybody? How does that translate into moving around from show to show and having to come home together? Are all of you still in the same house, same area?
Yes, all of us are living together in Knoxville, and you know it plays a very important part, because I think it's very convenient that we can just practice whenever we want to. If we a couple of my siblings went to Europe for a couple of weeks, and you know it was kind of weird having just like about half of us at home.
Uh-huh.
And but it's definitely it's a convenience to have everybody at home where we can practice together, build each other up, you know, and the older help the younger. And it's just doesn't, I mean, there's not a lot of, it's usually like what you would say is conflicts, because, you know, they're going to happen.
Sure.
That happens in the family, because, and that actually makes us stronger as a band, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Musically, is it all gospel, or do you mix it up with some of the traditional older tunes? I think I read where you guys actually write some of your music. Is it what is the predominant style that you guys are playing on a regular basis?
We like to define it as acoustic, because I mean we never really use electric instruments,
right?
So I mean we'll play traditional bluegrass, some progressive, and like you said, some gospel. And our new album coming out has a bunch of original music on it, so we definitely have a good balance. But I say we're basically all around bluegrass, a little bit of country, so basically you could say acoustic.
Okay. Go ahead.
We like to say we play uplifting music. So whether it's gospel or not, it just brings some people joy and laughter, good humor. That's what we try to do.
So there is some forethought even in the, I guess to use the word secular, into those songs that you pick. Then you're picking songs that you feel like fit with the message that you guys want to put out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Who's the songwriter in the family, or songwriters?
Everybody plays a little hand in that.
Yeah.
I'd say the most predominant would be Joshua, who's the second oldest, and me and you are kind of up there too. I'm more on the the melody side. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think it's cool that we can write songs together, like three or four of us, or just two or three, because some of us are very strong in melody and others are very strong in lyrics. So, you know, I think all of us throw our hand in that, but definitely some do it more than others.
So when you have a handful of songs that you've written and you're getting ready to put a new album together, how's the process in picking the music? Do you have someone that's sort of the leader, or is it more of a democratic process when you're picking the songs that you're going to record?
For a family band, there's got to be someone who has the final say, and that one would be our oldest, Jacob, who's the banjo player, like I said
uh-huh.
earlier. He's we look to him as the band leader, even though, you know, it's not like a
dictatorship.
Sure.
You know, yeah. But we all, like, we'll listen, because we've gotten songwriters pitch us songs as well.
Sure.
So we'll sit down and listen to those, and, you know, Some songs that we really want on the album just don't make it. But I'd say that we all just will sit down and talk about it. And for the last couple of albums, we've really decided on the tone we want to set for the album.
Mm-hmm.
And for us personally, it's always good for someone to have the final say.
So we're usually around the same thought process.
Yeah.
And usually all of us love a song or don't like a song.
Okay. That's cool. So you guys have won some awards and industry acknowledgments. And was that something that you were striving for, or was it a surprise that you were able to do that so quickly, you know, as you started into bluegrass?
I would say the latter. It kind of, you know, came as a surprise. Some have come as a surprise. You know, you don't really expect that. You know, when you're when you get that opportunity, it's always great to have that. And a band contest or something like that. For us personally, we just like to do it for fun, because, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't matter if you win or, you know, you get second, because, you know, that can always be hard when you're that close. You know what I mean? But I'd say we were not expecting the accomplishments that we have achieved in the last few months.
Yeah.
But we still do our best to give our best, do our best,
sure.
to give our best.
Yeah.
Well, so that, you know.
It's nice to be acknowledged for doing your best and have your industry peers, you know, notice that you guys are working so hard. So that's neat.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So the new record is not out. I think you said it's going to be out in February. It's called Same Kind of Different. Tell me a little bit about that process of that, putting that together, the kind of music that's on it.
This album has, it's been a labor of love. We've been working on it for the last few months, and we had the privilege to work with the amazing Ben Isaacs and Mark Capps as producer and engineer on it.
That's cool.
And, yes, and the music, like I said, has a bunch of new original songs on it, five we wrote ourselves, and there's only a couple that that we didn't write or weren't pitched to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we recorded it back in September, and we're hoping to release it late February.
Okay.
And Abby, you have anything to say about the album?
Like we said before, the album consists of a lot of uplifting music, songs that can be considered gospel, songs that have just that gospel flair but aren't exactly gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about bringing it to our fans, bringing it to the industry, just a lot of excitement there is. The release date is coming up.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
So when you guys get a chance to just relax and do your own thing and listen to whatever you want to listen to, do you have a particular style, maybe outside of bluegrass, that you enjoy just listening to?
We listen to a lot of different kind of music. Our mom grew up in the 80s, so she has she's definitely introduced us to all the 80s greats, as Queen, Michael Jackson, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we'll listen to some pop and rock here and there because, you know, it's good to have a variety.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
You can't get better than good old bluegrass and folk and stuff like that. But, you know, you can always get great, amazing ideas from other genres. So I'd say the most listened to genre besides acoustic, Americana, folk, bluegrass, stuff like that would definitely be pop.
Do you ever get the compulsion to work up one of those as a cover? Have you done that yet?
We actually have. We've worked up a few of them.
Okay.
We love connecting with our generation.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, a lot of the music nowadays is, it's studio-based, you know.
Uh-huh.
You have all this tuned vocals and artificial music,
right.
And we just want to be able to take the songs they love and introduce it in an acoustic way and mm-hmm. hopefully connect with them and make a new fan of bluegrass that way. And so, yes, we've done that a lot.
Do you have a favorite one that you have reinterpreted? I guess that's the word.
I think one of our favorites is Mean by Taylor Swift.
Yeah, okay, cool.
That's always a fun one.
Yeah. Do you sense the audience responding to that when you do that? Do you feel it pulling a younger generation sometimes?
Yes, we definitely can feel that, and it's a great feeling to know that, you know, you're reaching all ages. And it really depends on the crowd, you know. We'll kind of feel it out and see if there's like more of a younger audience, we'll do it, and then if it's not, you know, we'll stick to more traditional acoustic stuff like that. But when we perform at places like Silver Dollar City, when there's in the summer, when there's like a lot of youth, we'll pull out those pop songs to really draw them in and get them a feel of, you know, them played acoustically.
Yeah.
We've seen some of them start singing along, and it always makes you feel good when you look out and see the people singing along to your music.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yes, sir.
So the new record is Same Kind of Different, and again, that'll be out in February. It's the Sal Family Band. How can people find you, reach out? What's the website? Where can they get the new record when it's out, or maybe pick up some of your earlier stuff?
All right, so they can check out the website at thefamilysal.com, and for those of you who are listening, the band is The Family Sal. So visit thefamilysal.com to get some of our albums, and as you just heard, our new album should be on there come February and March. And I'm really looking forward to that one. And also, you can check us out on social media. Make sure to check out our Instagram at The Family Sal officially. And also, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter as well.
And that's S-O-W-E-L-L. And I presume that your travel schedule is there as well. People can maybe find out where you'll be close to them.
Yes, sir. 2020 tour dates are up on the website, so if you want to come see us live, make sure you check there.
Great. Well, thank you, guys. It's been fun, and I certainly wish you well with the new record, and look forward to catching you guys play somewhere.
Thank you.
Thank you. So good talking to you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.